Good morning and welcome to Bowmansville this morning. I'd like to extend an extra greeting to any guests or visitors that are worshiping with us this morning. Receive this call to worship, Psalms 9, 1 and 2. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell you of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love that you pour out on us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we can gather and worship you this morning. As we praise you, open our hearts to a new understanding of you. In Jesus' name I pray.
Oh, Let us pray. Father, as we come before you today, we seek to worship you in spirit and truth. Father, through your word, through music, through our thought life, every aspect of our being, we wish to connect and meet with you today. Father, we pray that we would do that every day, connect with you on a real and personal level. Father, we lift up Lancaster Conference Ministries and the blessing our offering is going towards. Father, I lift up Mose and the work of the Gideons. I just pray that you would be with him as he comes to share with us shortly. Father, we pray for each person here and everything that they are dealing with, both good and not so good. Father, you know our thoughts, and you still love us so much that you sent your son Jesus. Even while we were still sinners, your son died for us. Help us to always remember that you love us that much. You don't seek to bring us down, you seek to lift us up. And Father, during this time, we want to connect with you completely because that is what you've called us to do. But Father, we lift this time up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." In order to receive the eternal life with God, we willingly must choose to surrender our lives and make the decision to follow Jesus. When we do that, we can experience this beautiful promise of Christ living in us. So please join us as we sing "Christ Liveth in Me."
Christ liveth in me.
presence would be felt here, Lord, and that we would bring light to the darkness, Lord. It's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.
This morning, Mose King, representing the Gideons, is going to be our speaker this morning, so I invite Mose to come forward. He has been working with the Gideons 30 or 31 years. He said he wasn't sure exactly which one it was, so he lives just south of Honeybrook, so he doesn't live very far away. I'd like to pray for Mose and then turn the service over to him. Dear Heavenly Father, speak through Mose this morning. I just pray that your words will touch our hearts and that we will see all the work that the Gideons are doing and how they're touching lives and bringing people to know you. I just pray that you'll calm any nerves that Mose has, and I just pray that you'll give him peace, and I just pray that we will be touched today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. It certainly is a pleasure to be here, and as Tony mentioned, I'm here to speak for the Gideons, but I'm not here to build up the Gideons. I want to exalt God and His Word and share with you how when we place God's Word around the world in highways and byways of life, how that impacts people, how it changes people, and how the Holy Spirit uses God's Word to bring people into His kingdom. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the hearts and attitudes of the heart." And Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I send it." So, I just want to share some testimonies. I realize when I talk about the Word of God and the power of the Word of God, I'm really preaching to the choir here this morning. You know about the power of the Word. But it's good to hear these testimonies of how people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ simply by picking up the Bible and reading. We get many testimonies of people that have never been to church and never read the Bible, but yet in their time of need, in their time of seeking, they find the Bible, and the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus Christ to them, and they come into the kingdom of God. One I'd like to share is a man by the name of Elliot Osowitz. Elliot was, I think, about late 40s, early 50s, 1995. He had a family, but he wasn't home much for his family, and he was living an immoral life. He came home Christmas Eve, 1995, and his key wouldn't work in his door to his house. So he knocked on the door, and his wife came, and had one of them little windows in the door. And he said, "Polly, let me in." She says, "No, Elliot, you're not welcome here anymore. You weren't here for me when I'm raising the granddaughter because their daughter was in prison. You haven't been here for me when I'm suffering with cancer." And he could see she'd been crying. Oh, her hair was going from the cancer treatments. He was devastated. He knew it was true. So he turned around. He got in his pickup truck. He reached under the seat and he pulled out that revolver. He laid it on the seat and he drove to a motel, planning to commit suicide. Well, when he walked in that motel, he seen a Bible on top of the TV. In his anger and his frustration, he took that Bible and he knocked it on the floor. And then he kicked it to go under the bed. But the bed had one of them boards under, so it didn't go under. It bounced back out and fell open. So he picked it up and he read John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That spoke to Elliot's heart. and he kept reading that Bible. Now, Eliot had been raised in a Jewish family, and he was told from a little child never to read that Christian Bible. You don't believe in Jesus. They had all kinds of stories about the crucifixion not being true and all that. But this was really speaking to him, and he was seeing something now he'd never seen before. The Holy Spirit started working on him. He read that Bible all night, and the next morning he called his wife Polly, and he said, "Polly, I'm in trouble. I need to talk to your pastor." Now, the pastor is the man that used to come to their house, and he would slam the door in his face, or he would say mean things to him. That pastor, Christmas morning, went to that motel, and it was an ice storm. The roads were icy, but that pastor went there and shared the gospel with Eliot, took him through the plan of salvation, and led him to the Lord there that morning. Well, Eliot and Polly were restored. Polly is a cancer survivor, and she went back to work to support Eliot to go to seminary. Today, they're pastoring a Baptist church in northwestern North Carolina. And I seen a photo recently of their family, about 12 or 14, of their two daughters, their husbands, their children, grandchildren. It was a beautiful picture. Over the years, the Lord has restored that family, and they're all working in the church. That's how the Bible can affect people, and the Holy Spirit uses it. So somebody was faithful, a Gideon was faithful to go to that motel and place that Bible. And somebody maybe just like you here this morning were faithful in giving money to buy that Bible to place in that motel. Frank Swastek from Detroit. As a child growing up, he had an emptiness, insecurity, he wanted to be accepted. So he got involved with the wrong crowd. They were drinking and doing drugs. After he graduated from high school, he went looking for love in California and Florida, but he didn't find anything to fill that void in his heart. So he went back to Detroit and he enrolled in college. Well, there he got involved with the fraternity brothers, and he spent a lot of time at the fraternity house, which was really just a bar. And he spent 2 years there with the fraternity brothers and drinking. And one cold winter day, as he rode his 10-speed bike to go to classes, he seen some men down on the sidewalk, and they had long trench coats on, and he thought, maybe it's the FBI. Maybe they're doing a drug check. So he tried to speed past one of them on his bike, but the guy handed out a testament, and he grabbed it, and he took it back to his room, and he put it on a shelf and didn't think too much about it. A couple days later was Saturday, so Saturday morning, he started drinking again early. That's what he did every Saturday. And then he spent all day partying with his friends. But he still had that empty feeling, and he got depressed. So he went home, and he started reading that testament. And for the first time in his life, he read that testament. He read the Bible. And he read about God's love. So later that day, he confessed his sins and put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been 12 years now, a missionary to college students. And his title now is Reverend Frank Swastek. So that's the power of God's word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides the thoughts and intents of the heart. Many of you, you know, probably, maybe, I hope all have had that experience where the Bible was influential in bringing you to that place. I know it was in my life because I had taken the road of rebellion and I lived in sin. And when I was 26 years old, I didn't think there was forgiveness. I knew about God. I was raised in an Amish home. The gospel wasn't always presented real clear. But I knew there was a God. I feared God. And yet I left myself go down that road to the place where I had so much guilt on me that I was sick of it. And I just didn't know how to, I didn't know how to come to God. I wanted God. I didn't plan on sharing this, but I prayed this morning God would lead me to say what he wants to say. So I just feel I need to share this. A friend of mine was shot and paralyzed. He ended up in Lancaster General Hospital. And there was a local pastor at Mount Zion United Methodist Church down by Cambridge. He was a very outgoing guy. And when he heard about Mac being paralyzed, laying there in the hospital, he went in and visited him. Mac was in the hospital a long time. He was paralyzed from the waist down. And he befriended him. And he said, Mac, when you go home, let's start a Bible study. Because he was sharing the gospel with him. Mac was taking it in, you know. Mac said, none of my friends will come. He laughed at him. He said, none of my friends will come. You see, Mac was a member of the Pagans Motorcycle Club. So, Mac went home. They started the Bible study. I went to that Bible study. The third time that I went, that pastor said, Moses, what's holding you back? I see you're taking in the word, but you can't receive Christ. What's the problem? I said, I've sinned so much, God can't forgive me. I know God can't forgive me. So he went in John, and I don't remember exactly where it was, the Gospel of John, and he gave me some scriptures to look up. So I went home, and I read those scriptures. And that night, I got the Holy Spirit told me that there is forgiveness for all sins. And I confessed to the Lord. And I've been under construction ever since. But it was God's word. It was the word. That word, I needed to read that, and then the Holy Spirit made it real to me. And that's just the way it is with so many, many people. Yeah, so praise God for his holy word. Praise God for the Holy Spirit that draws us. I want to share a story, just give you a little picture of some of the things we do as the Gideons and some of the challenges we have, some of the opportunities that we have. A man by the name of Bill Cromer was from the international office. He was responsible for some countries in Africa, and he had South Sudan, and I'm just going to read this. When Bill first visited South Sudan for the Gideon's International, he was in a van that normally seats 8. But there were 22 people and chickens all loaded together. The two-hour trip was hot and dusty. After quite a while of bumping along, all of those on board began cheering. Bill didn't know why. But then he learned that the van had finally reached third gear. Usually, vehicles can only drive in first and second gear. To successfully maneuver the roads, the passengers were celebrating. So I had to think, how often do we celebrate when we can go 75 miles an hour on the interstate? But just amazing how sometimes poor people just have so much pleasure in simple things like that. So once I arrive at my destination, I have 2 days to start a camp. That's a chapter, we call them camps. And I know absolutely no one there. I'll stop a person on the street and ask, do you know a pastor? When I do contact a pastor and ask to see him, he will literally run to meet me. Then I tell him my desire to open a Gideon camp and bring copies of God's word to the area. The pastor is thrilled. Often a pastor in South Sudan doesn't have a Bible himself. He may have a folder, which includes a few, maybe 3 Bible chapters. In fact, he may be a pastor just because he possesses these few pages of the Word. People there desire God's Word, and this man, this pastor, has it. Typically, the pastor will immediately contact others in the area. They all want scriptures for the people, and they'll do anything they can to get them. The pastors will come back themselves the next day with at least 6 men that qualify as Gideons. Frequently, I have to prepare the Gideon membership applications by circling different categories of jobs, telling them to choose only one job. Few men, if any, own a business. Almost all are farmers. They have little money from their farming, just enough to live on. I explain the membership dues, but rarely does an applicant have any money. I tell the man to make arrangements to secure their dues. Often they can visit with their family or neighbors to secure the money. I tell them that I will wait until midnight that same day. I also say that I will be leaving the following morning. They can still bring the money to me before I leave. It's difficult not to help them financially, but we simply can't pay the dues for them. They need to take on that responsibility. Doing so enhances the value of their membership and gives them a sense of ownership. That same day, we elect officers for the camp, do extensive training, and we plan the first scripture distribution. I have faith that God will work out all other details. He always does. So that's just one example of the opportunities this ministry has to go in a country and organize a camp so that we can send Bibles to them and they can Bible their community. So that's one of the challenges we have. And I just have time for one more testimony. Pat Sheldon was raised in a family of substance abuse. Pat first tasted beer at the age of 6. Surrounded by addicts, he soon became one. He was selling drugs by the age of 12 and collecting money for drug dealers by the age 17. After committing several crimes and running from the law, he was arrested. During his time in prison, a Gideon came in that prison, sharing the word. As the words of Jesus were shared with Pat, his calloused exterior started to be penetrated by the tender words of God's love. Pat's life was restored as he surrendered it to Christ. He remains convinced of the restorative power of the gospel, and he shares it wherever he can. I've known Pat for about 5 years. Every year I meet him in New York City when we do the Bible Blitz, and he does share his testimony and share the word of God every opportunity he has. So I appreciate that brother. And there again, he came to know God because a Gideon cared enough to go to that prison, hand out these testaments, and share with him. And someone gave the money to buy those testaments. In closing, as Gideons, we consider ourselves as being an extended arm of the church. We have opportunity to place scriptures in countries where the church or missionaries can't go. We pray for opportunities to place God's word, and God answers those prayers, which presents us with the challenge of raising the money to purchase the scriptures. Every country gets an allotment every year. By how many they've given out, the opportunities they have, they get an allotment. So many are supposed to be shipped. Right now, there's several million scriptures being withheld because the money's not there to ship it to them. So would you consider giving today so scriptures can be placed? This ministry is expanding at a pace which is a challenge for us to keep up with. In 1989, we were in 163 countries, distributing right around 30 million scriptures annually. Today, we're in 201 countries, distributing a little over 1 million annually. And that comes out to around 2.5 scriptures per second. Every time your heart ticks, there's 2.5 that's being given out somewhere in the world. Praise be to God. It's all God. It's not about the Gideons. It's about God. He gives us that opportunity. He calls us into this ministry to do that work. And we're just obedient. It's like you are here in the church, doing what he's called you to do. But it's just such a pleasure to be involved in this ministry. And I just want to share, we're in countries, like I said, where the church can't go. In Qatar, we're established in Qatar. Syria, you know, the terrible things have been going on in Syria. We have Gideons there giving out scriptures. They're in the refugee camps giving out scriptures. Praise be to God. Because he knew this was going to happen years ago, you know, and he left us go in there and establish the ministry there. I'm amazed at how many people decide to commit suicide when they're depressed. Now, we probably all, you know, have suffered with depression one time or another. I know I have. But I can't imagine people coming to that place where they're going to commit suicide. It's a sickness. Anyway, this lady in the Czech Republic, young lady, was very troubled. Everything was going wrong in her life, or she thought so. She decided to commit suicide. She decided to commit suicide by drowning herself in the river. Well, to get to the river, she had to walk along a canal. She was walking along this canal, and it was a windy day, and something blew up out of the canal, and it stuck to the side of her face. She thought it was a leaf, so she took it off and looked at it. It was a page out of a little scripture. It was the Psalms. So she began to read it. It gave her hope. It gave her comfort, and she decided not to commit suicide that day. So she went home, and she knew there were some Christians in her town, so she looked them up, and they helped her. And they took her through the Word of God, and they showed her that Jesus loves her, cares for her, and wants to save her. So she changed her mind. So today, she's not thinking about suicide. She goes around to churches sharing that testimony. Well, your ministry has been very gracious, first of all, to let me come and share, take this time on a Sunday morning. They also gave us a check to buy Bibles, and we really appreciate that. We say thank you. But if you're here this morning and you feel God's prompting you that maybe you'd want to give individually, this insert that's in your bulletin, I think you all have it. If you feel led to do so, there's an envelope in there with our P.O. box number on it. Put your check in there, send it to us. We send it to our international office. It goes into International Scripture Blitz. Those Bibles get sent around the world. Some of them might end up here in Lancaster County. I wish I had a little more time. I'd share with you what we do here in Lancaster County. But we have quite a few opportunities to place Bibles right here in our camp area. Every camp has a geographical area. And then they need to put the Bibles in all the places that are that we're allowed to place them in their camp area. So every camp is responsible to do that in their own camp. Now, some areas like the big cities like Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, even Harrisburg, they don't have enough of Gideons to cover all the areas they have, so we have what we call blitzes. So we go there about every 3 years in every city and help them blitz the city with Bibles. And that's a wonderful opportunity. But if you feel led that you want to help buy the Bibles, so people in countries like South Sudan, where those brothers just have enough to live on, but they want the Word of God to be placed in their communities, just use that envelope and send it to us. 100% of what you and I give goes for the purchase and shipping of the Scriptures. All our overhead costs are covered by our membership dues. Thank you so much again for letting me come. God bless you for the work that you do here at Bowman's Mennonite Church. Thank you.
Thank you, Moses, for coming and sharing how God is moving and working in many countries around the world and how his word is living and active. I trust that you have been blessed as I have this morning. I have a couple announcements. Our men's meeting on May 12th, we're going to cancel that for that Saturday. There's a lot of people not going to be around, so we are going to cancel that one. We will plan on having it the next time. And another announcement that we have is that Bob Becker is with us this morning, so praise God that you are here. Bob was diagnosed with terminal liver cancer. The cancer started in his gallbladder, and it spread to his liver, and they are not able to operate on it. So at this time, I would invite anybody to come forward, gather around Bob and Dixie and their boys, to lay hands on them and to pray for them as they walk through this. You may come forward now. They're sitting over here. The boys are over here as well. You know us. You knit us together in our mother's womb. You know every part of us. You know what is going on inside of Bob's body. We pray right now for supernatural healing. We pray that your hand will come and touch Bob and remove the cancer from his body. We pray that you will give peace and comfort to Bob and Dixie and the boys. I just pray that you will pour out your love and mercy upon them. I pray that you will comfort them. And I just pray that we will remember them in our thoughts and on our hearts. I just pray that you will touch their lives in a wonderful way through this hard situation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I invite you to stand. We'll have a closing prayer and a benediction. I just want to say to you that everybody's invited and welcome to go visit Bob and Dixie. Stop in and say hello and pour out your love for them. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the way that you work, the way that you move, and the way that you bring people to know you. We thank you for the healing that you do in our lives. We thank you for the comfort that you give us and the peace. I just pray that you'll bless the Gideons as they are spreading your word, spreading your testimony of who you are. I just pray that you'll be with us in this coming week. Watch over us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.